David Legg said, fasting is detaching yourself from the earth. Prayer is attaching yourself to God. John Piper began his book, A Hunger for God, by writing, "The birthplace of Christian fasting is homesickness for God." Jesus overcame temptation and prepared for his ministry by fasting. Fasting is really a very simple discipline. All of us can fast. However, what is simple is often not easy. Fasting takes ongoing commitment. It takes discipline. The when, where, and how are not nearly as important as the slogan, "Just do it." Fasting and prayer are learned behaviors that are to be practiced. Just do it. Just fast. Why? Because Jesus overcame temptation and received love, strength, and wisdom for his ministry through fasting. Pastor Craig Simeon preached, "I believe that most of us here share a deep desire to be more intimate, more devoted to God. But something gets in the way of that devotion. The desire we all have to give our hearts to God is shared with the desire for things. Yet the weakness of our hunger for God is not because God is unsavory, as John Piper puts it, but because we keep ourselves stuffed with other things. In other words, we are so full on food and entertainment that we have no appetite left for God. Is there something wrong with food or entertainment? Of course not. But because these things are not bad, we often don't realize that they can be to blame for our lack of hunger. You see, it is not our feasting that typically robs us of our hunger for God, but the constant nibbling at the table of the world, which leaves us so full that we have no appetite left for God." Simeon continues, "I experience this every Thanksgiving. I nibble all day long, so much so that when the main meal comes, I don't really enjoy it." Again, what we are nibbling on, computers, investing, TV, surfing the web, work, shopping, exercising, talking on the phone, home repair, and even our Christian work are all fine, though taken together can leave us so inebriated that we have nothing left for God. Fasting is that discipline which tries to recapture the hunger for God. It says to God, "I am willing to forego anything in order to be in your presence." Fasting provides an atmosphere whereby we are prepared to face up with the dulling effects of food and those things which we continually nibble upon. Fasting is making space in you for God. Fasting and prayer go hand in hand. Spend some of the time set free by fasting in prayer. Whenever you crave whatever you are fasting from, pray. This does two things. It makes fasting easier because after a few minutes in prayer, you will likely find your desire for whatever you are fasting from dissipate. Second, you will be nourished with your communication with God. Scripture is full of people who fasted, such as Moses, David, Elijah, Esther, Daniel, Anna, Paul, and Jesus. Our denomination was formed by people who regularly fasted. John Calvin, Martin Luther, John Knox, John Wesley, and Jonathan Edwards, to name just a few. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "When you fast." Jesus seems to be making the assumption that all of us will fast to deepen our relationship with God. Clearly, fasting is a discipline that all of us should practice regularly. If you can only remember two things about fasting, first and foremost, remember to just do it. Just take time, make time to fast. Second, fast to connect with God. Richard Foster stresses that fasting must forever center on God. If our fasting is not unto God, we have failed. Physical benefits and spiritual insights, these must never replace God as the center of our fasting. John Wesley declares, "First let fasting be done unto the Lord with our eyes singularly fixed on God. Let our intentions herein be this, and this alone, to glorify God our Father who is in heaven. That way we will be saved from loving the blessings of fasting more than God the blesser." Foster writes, "It is sobering to realize that the very first statement Jesus made about fasting dealt with the question of motive. To use a good thing to its own end is always a sign of false religion. How easy it is to take something like fasting and try to use it to get God to do what we want. At times there is such stress upon the blessings and benefits of fasting that we would be tempted to believe that with a little fast, we could have God doing exactly what we want God to do. Rather, our fast is to make space for experiences of God." Charles Spurgeon described his experience of fasting on God this way: "Our seasons of fasting and prayer at the tabernacle have been high days indeed. Never has heaven's gate stood wider. Never have our hearts been nearer the eternal glory of God." Now, I have fasted from a variety of things at different times, yet every time I fast, I have amazing focus upon God. Backpacking really is fasting. I'm fasting from all that communication that bombards me, and I'm fasting from many of the comforts and conveniences at home. Usually, my mind at the beginning is full of thoughts, concerns with the future, calculating how I'm going to get everything done, planning and setting goals. Fasting for me slows down time and allows me to focus my entire attention on God. And that opens me up to experience God. My biggest hurdle with fasting is too often I'm not fasting from anything. In our scripture today, Jesus fasted to overcome temptation. Foster writes, "More than any other discipline, fasting reveals the things that control us. This is a wonderful benefit for the true disciple who longs to be transformed into the image of Jesus. We too often cover up what is inside of us with good things and food. But in fasting, these things surface. If pride controls us, it will be revealed almost immediately. David writes in Psalm 69, "I humbled my soul with fasting." Anger, bitterness, jealousy, strife, fear, if they are within us, they will surface during fasting. At first, we will rationalize that our anger is due to our hunger. Then we realize that we are angry because anger is within us. But we can rejoice in the knowledge because we know that healing is available through the power of Christ. Now, you may choose to fast from TV, reading, texting, cell phones, computers, technology, a particular food, maybe chocolate, coffee, or soft drinks, credit card, music, alcohol, sports, a hobby, fast food, talk, remote controls, or anything in your life. Your fast may be for a certain time every day, such as, "I will not use any form of technology from 8 p.m. until I go to bed," or for a duration of time, such as, "I will not drink any soft drinks for a year." If you are inspired to be bold, fast from your comfort item, whatever you do when you have a bad day. You will likely find that as you fast from that and spend that time in prayer, that you will be forced to deal with the root cause of your pain. God will meet you and will heal you. Or if you are inspired to be bold, fast from the symptom of a troubling temptation. Perhaps hurry is a symptom in your life. It is in mine. Hurry can be a symptom for a variety of temptations. Love and hurry are fundamentally incompatible. Hurry diminishes one's capacity to love. Hurry sometimes flows from unhealthy self-worth, thinking that I must accomplish a certain volume to be worthy, or I must hurry to meet people's expectations, so I hurry in hopes of being good enough so that I will be loved. Now, I think I hurry out of fear. Fear that if I don't get things done for others, they will not approve of me, and then I'll wind up unemployed, and then I won't be able to provide for my family. Ironically, my hurrying interferes with my ability to love my family. When I fast and think about it, I realize that this is really an absurd circle. My fear that I will not be able to show love by providing for my family in the future causes me to hurry today, diminishing my ability to love them now, which is the root cause of my fear in the first place. And if I continue to hurry out of fear of approval, I will be less loving for the rest of my life and make less time for the people around me, causing the root of my fear of less love to be realized. Fasting untangles that kind of twisted thinking. Now, there are numerous ways to fast from hurry. Perhaps schedule more space into your day. Use that time to be fully present for those you love. Perhaps deliberately drive in the slow lane and use the extra time and concentration it would take to change lanes and speed up and slow down to pray. If you normally get impatient and angry when you drive, pray for God to bless every person that passes you. Eat your food slowly. Or get in the longest checkout line every time you shop and let the next two or three people go in front of you. I break up my desire for hurry by backpacking. Fasting makes space for God to nourish us. Foster writes, "Fasting reminds us that we are sustained, as Jesus said, by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Things do not sustain us. God sustains us. In Christ, all things hold together. Therefore, in experiences of fasting, we are not so much abstaining from something as we are feasting on God." Fasting is feasting. When the disciples brought lunch to Jesus, assuming that he would be starving, Jesus declared, "I have food to eat of which you do not know. My food is to do the will of God who sent me and to accomplish God's work." Jesus was in fact being nourished and sustained by the love and power of God. Fasting helps us see what is really important in our life. Fasting helps us set and live holy priorities. Foster writes, "Fasting helps us keep our balance in life. How easy we begin to allow non-essentials to take precedence in our lives. How quickly we crave things we do not really need until we are enslaved by them." The Apostle Paul writes, "All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything." Our human cravings and desires are like rivers that tend to, in time, overflow their banks. Fasting helps keep them in their proper channels. It is fasting that sets us free. There was a young boy who was throwing a temper tantrum at the shopping mall. He was tired, overstimulated, and wanted many things. Many toys, many candies, many things he wanted. But nothing else worked to settle him down. In essence, the father forced him to fast. The father picked his son up, held him in his arms, and began to sing to him a song that he made up as he went along. "I love you. I love the way you laugh. I'm glad I get to be your dad." Suddenly, the boy's eyes focused on his dad and his father's love. The boy became silent, smiled, and nestled into his father's chest and listened all the way to the car. When his father put him into the car seat and buckled him in, his son threw out his arms and said, "Sing it to me again, Daddy. Sing it again." Fasting is like that. Fasting detaches us from the earth and attaches us to God. Fasting enables us to put down our stuff so we can hug God. Fasting enables us to let go of that herd of racing thoughts so we can hear God sing God's love song over us. Amen.